You're watching New Sound Waves with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Dweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to New Soundwave 61.
Wow,
man, it's 2011, guys. Can you believe it? Does that blow your mind?
And New Soundwave almost qualifies for Social Security now.
Almost. We're gonna be cutting that check five ways when we get it.
And well, like this whole $5 time,
and the whole $1.
I know your tax dollars at work feeding us, feeding us. So this week. With me, I am your fearless host, John DeLuna. With me, Brian, XV, Peter, AKKK, Weebum, and of course, Rob Springer. Sporting that awesome, throwing up the horns, sporting that awesome, trendy lumberjack beard awesome. And the PlayStation pliers. That's very right. Nice. We got a good show.
Feel those pliers?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's only $300 and of USB course, ports. Proprietary. They don't work with other pliers. So this week, good show, snappy show. Actually, we've got some breaking news from CES, which just started. Next week, we'll recap all of CES. We've got some breaking news from tonight, the night we record. We've got some more news on the PlayStation phone. He-Man, the video game, maybe.
Oh, no.
Yes. And then last week we recapped, we took a different take on retrospectives for the year. We looked at 10 years ago and 20 years ago. Now we're going to look several days ago. We're going to actually recap 2010.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be fun. That's actually going to be fun. It was a big year in video games. Lots of stuff that you may not remember. You may not realize happened just a few days ago. So first, the breaking news from CES. Sony did their big keynote tonight on the night we recorded, which is the 5th of January. And I guess the biggest thing coming out of this is that Sony seems like they're going to be pushing glasses-less 3D. No glasses 3D. So they've unveiled a camcorder, a $1,500 camcorder that shows 3D, little handy cam. It shoots in 3D and it shows 3D, like I said, without the need of any glasses through its special viewfinder. And they also announced that as of now, there's no plans for a 3D PSP, but we'll see about that. We'll see how the 3DS does. So interesting stuff from Sony. We'll see how the rest of CES turns out this week, and we'll recap it next week.
Just wanted to add that LG is also doing a 3D mobile DTV.
Why?
Nice.
Glassesless. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Qualcomm just closed their Flow TV, so obviously that went somewhere, nowhere.
It's going to be awesome watching those reruns of One Day at a Time in 3D manufacturers.
Or Law and Order.
Mm.
Awesome. Yes, it'll be like a whole new John show. Goodman. Yeah, you can see the
Rosie.
Drama come at you.
Hey, Rosie, hey, Darlene.
Whoa,
it's gonna be awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just hold on to your seat, buddy. Hold on to your seat. Hey, more pictures of the PlayStation phone have leaked. We'll tweet this if we fancy it. If not, I'm sure you can find it. It's all over the internet. It's basically more the same. It looks exactly like a PSP Go, really. But the only difference is this time it's got branding on it. It's got PlayStation branding. It's got the trademark X squares, O's, all that good stuff, little triangle here and there. So we're getting closer to the production model, and it's pretty clear. Like we said last week, this baby's going to be a PSP Go, but a phone too. So. We'll see. We'll see if that flies or not. I don't think we're holding our breath on that one, on the success of the PSP phone.
I have in my hands a prototype of the new PSP if you guys want to see it. You guys game?
Of course.
No.
It is the PSP grooming kit.
Ooh,
and
nice.
As you see, it comes with a Sony branded toenail clippers and tweezers, and even comes with a UMD pocket knife, which can play MP3s, I guess.
Now, be sure to tune in next week, because Rob is going to demonstrate the super secret PSP Go wallet which it won't hold your money, your credit cards, or anything. You just got to download all of your financial information into it.
Yes. No games.
Well, when you put money in it, you don't get it back.
You don't get it back, yeah.
Right.
Nope. No, this is probably the most useful PSP I've bought, though, because I did cut my toenails earlier.
Well, the good thing is nobody
This joke is awesome, except I'm looking at your maintenance tools, and I don't think they're, like, fresh out of the box. They're lightly used. Okay, so from a story of almost guaranteed future failure to a story of tremendous success. So the Wii has topped 34 million units sold in the U.S., and the DS has topped 47 million. So what does that mean for the DS? It means it's the biggest selling console ever in the United States.
Really? Even more than the PS2?
That is number two. So PSP2 or PS2 has fallen to number two.
That's awesome. That's the biggest ever. That's
exceedingly awesome.
Could anybody have ever guessed this for the DS?
Yes, I assumed that the DS was the best-selling system already.
In 04, I was hyping this would be the biggest thing ever. No one listened.
In 04, I bought one day one. Guess what? I sold it 3 months later. I'm like, there's nothing. I'm tired of playing this Metroid demo. I want to play something else.
I'd totally show off my tank, but I gave it to my mom.
Awesome.
You know, with my little Awbot sticker on it.
I gave your mom my tank.
No wonder she's generally unhappy.
Your mom's awesome.
So congratulations to the DS. You are number one. Number one with a bullet. 47 million units. That does include, just before we move on, the DS family.
Of course. I mean, the PS2 family, which is like two consoles.
Which is the PS2, and then what, the PS2 Slim?
Yeah.
I think that's it, so.
Fixed on this PSP stuff there, aren't you, John?
You know what, I'm fixated on it. I'm in a lather for a PSP2. I can't wait.
Although that was about the same time, right? I mean, PS2 came around when?
PS2 is 2000.
No, really?
Yeah.
Pretty old.
Wow.
Yeah, it's old.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so the DS so popular.
Time frame is about the right time frame, because the next gen consoles came about 4 years ago. Seven years. PS2 hit pretty solid state. So okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. Okay.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, He-Man the video game could happen. Yes, it could happen now. So Mattel, our favorite company. purveyor of the fantastic site Maddie Collector and their tremendous online toy infrastructure, they have licensed out brands like Hot Wheels, Barbie, Fisher-Price, and Masters of the Universe to THQ to create video games for those properties. So up until now, several companies have handled the creation and distribution of the games based on Mattel's brands, but no longer. So THQ has got the license for all of these with the explicit intent. It's a multi-year license, too, multi-year agreement. The intent to milk,
I mean.
And every single one.
Well, I don't know.
Them.
I mean, is a He-Man game could be good, right?
No.
So with good imagination.
It would only be good. It could only be good if it was self-aware. And it didn't take itself seriously. I'm a He-Man game. I'm going to go punch Skeletor. Boom, he's dead.
Seriously, as soon as I heard about the He-Man game, I thought of that one game, Goldmax, where the one dude's got the big sword and he's got blue tight and he wears like blue underwear.
That's awesome, Matty. Where
do you know game I'm talking about?
I have it. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, it's pretty much it, right? I mean, what else can it do? Yeah. Well, where they're, like, hitting people with their butt of their swords. Yeah, I mean, like...
Well, you come up with this, like, He-Man. Well, that's a fun property. Wouldn't that make a great game? No. You know why? The same reason the Incredible Hulk makes bad games.
It's the same reason why the Magic 8-Ball is not going to be...
There's one good Incredible Hulk game.
What is there?
Ultimate Destruction.
Ultimate Destruction, because there's no... It's not a game. You just go around destroying crap. It's awesome. Okay.
And the, the movie game for the most recent Hulk movie was based on the same principle. So technically there's two.
Well, right, I heard it was pretty good. Yeah. It's like Rampage 3D.
reason I'm saying
yeah, basically, that's exactly what it is.
You're going to get to the developer, and they're going to say, well, you know, there's going to be so many times you need to be Prince Adam.
Okay. It's like, well, what if he needs to go in the store and buy something? He's going to do that as Prince
Adam. Yeah, it's like
the He-Man can't walk into the store.
It's like, you know, the Hulk games are like, well, you really, there's going to be times in the game you need to be Bruce Banner.
Not in Ultimate Destruction.
Nope.
Okay, great, because I'm still thinking that Super Nintendo one and that game.
Yeah, Ultimate Destruction is fantastically easy.
Now, you can unlock a Bruce Banner skin, but you're still actually playing as Hulk.
That just sounds creepy.
Well,
his skin's
all stretched and everything.
He's just running around as Bruce Banner, isn't he? I mean, he's not like
powers. Yeah,
it's not like he's texture mask.
He's wearing a Bruce Banner costume.
It's different model, but the function is still the same.
Yeah.
So it's not like, great, now I'm dramatically weaker and this game has gotten super hard in the time of 2 seconds, like it could have been a He-Man game. He-Man's taking He-Man damage. Now he's Prince Adam. You gotta get He-Man points to become He-Man again. Yay!
Who was He-Man at arms? Last notes about this story. He-Man's not the only one that could knock our socks off. There's also a chance for a Rock'em Sock'em Robots game and, oh yes, a Polly Pocket game.
Now the Polly Pocket. That would be great if it was just a reskin of the He-Man game.
A crossover.
Yeah,
I'm thinking like a Sims type game for Polly Pocket, but you know what? It's gonna be like those Mary Kate and Ashley games or something. Where just throw some graphics on whatever we got laying around.
Pretty much.
Hot Wheels is good.
What could THQ repurpose into a He-Man game?
You know, it's gonna be Prince of Persia, Ixie. That was their Ninja Turtles game.
It's just stuck in a ring. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Surrounded by boulders, and you don't know why.
Actually, that's a good point. It could just be a fighting game. That is a valid point.
That would be kind of neat. Fighting games are trendy now. How about that?
They could just borrow Beast Wars Transmetals and reskin it.
I'd awesome. Play that. The 7th Ninja Turtles game they get was just Prince of Persia with Ninja Turtles. So I think I might see where they're going to go with this.
Yeah. Hey, a quick hit on this one.
Side of buildings again.
We are a lawsuit happy society. So put this one in that category. Activision, Blizzard, and Zynga have been hit with patent lawsuits for online multiplayer. So yes, the very active online multiplaying. They're being sued by a group called Walker Digital. So we'll see how this turns out. We'll kind of update you on this lawsuit if it goes anywhere. But the games that have been named in this lawsuit include like almost every popular game of the last like 5 years when you think about it. So like Call of Duty, Black Ops and Modern Warfare, World of Warcraft,
Cajun.
How you doing? Let's see here. Transformers War for Cybertron. How about that? Named in a lawsuit.
Wow.
GoldenEye 007. So we'll see. They're seeking, obviously, damages on an insane level. We'll see if Walker Digital gets that.
World of Warcraft, Mafia Wars.
Pretty much anything that uses the Unreal Engine is in trouble.
Basically.
They said anything. The patent in question is a database-driven online distributed tournament system. So anything that requires a database and other players is this is a pretty ridiculous lawsuit because it's, you know.
Stop and say, hey, I came up with that same common sense thing?
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't they really take some instant messaging services and apply the same argument?
I mean, before 2002, how can you consider World of Warcraft to be like, I mean, Warcraft was a database-driven online tournament system. Mm-hmm. It's just, these are the kinds of lawsuits nowadays that are companies like Walker Digital, like, that just hold these patents and then just sue your ass off because that's what they do. That's their job.
Yeah.
Don't see worms on that.
So, I hate to say it, but it feels like Nintendo may be, backtracking a little bit, or their butts have been saved by doctors. So, a couple weeks ago, we mentioned that Nintendo had put out the word that the 3DS and 3D in general, really, was not good for kids under six. So if your kids were under six, a 3DS would not be for them. But the American Optometric Association has released a statement proclaiming Nintendo's claims that it's harmful are false, or they're kind of unfounded.
Really?
So the AOA has said in a statement that 3D in movies, TV, and even 3D on the 3DS isn't necessarily bad for adults or children. And they go on to say that the use of 3D technology like the 3DS or 3D TVs can help uncover eyesight issues that would otherwise go unnoticed. So it's actually good for you, according to them. Though parents of any child with vision problems should, you know, probably consult their doctor before allowing their kid to stare at a 3DS for like 14 hours. but, you know, hey, if you're Nintendo, you've got, I guess, you know, some good news here. Maybe it's not so bad for your kids.
Let's see. Kudos to Nintendo for CYA. Yeah.
Let's see, a couple more stories about Microsoft, and then we'll jump into our topic. Okay, so good and bad here. First of all, the Red Rings of Death have possibly returned, and it's all the Kinect's fault. So, Brian. So, yes, the Kinect is reportedly causing a new round of Red Rings of Death.
I don't see how that's possible.
You know, I know exactly what this is. You know, the Kinect, it's a camera, so the console is having to watch these fat people.
They're getting some red eye, all right.
No more! They're committing suicide.
Awesome. So, okay, so according to a report by the BBC, some consumers are claiming, like I said, that the red rings of death are being caused by their Kinect, mostly, for the most part, with older 360s, so that's something.
That's mine.
Awesome. Here's a quote from that story by the BBC. So, quote, we plugged in the Kinect the day we got it, but only played it a few times before we got the red lights, said a poor 10-year-old Adam to BBC Radio. Then he said the next day when we tried it again, we still had the red rings of death, and we haven't been able to use it since. So... somewhere there's a 10-year-old British kid just crying himself to sleep because his Kinect and his 360, you know, bought the bullet. So let's see here. What else?
Who was petting that tiger and it just died?
The report, yeah, Kinectimals was the last thing he ever saw. Just saw like a panda roller.
What they didn't tell you was that they played it and little Adam decided to say, hey, this Xbox looks rather cold. What a rapid towel.
Yes. Awesome. That's an awesome callback. Okay. Yeah. So if you don't know what Peter's referring to is like when the Red Rings of Death first happened, I guess it was several years ago now.
Right after the system launch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. One of the remedies was to wrap it in towels.
That doesn't work.
Which would be awesome because obviously logically if the rings were caused by overheating, maybe you could superheat it.
Right. It's like
and
if
it would
if you
melt the other way.
Yeah, it's like if you're trying to get this guy some air, suffocate him.
That's right. Because if he's faking, he'll jump up. So if your Xbox is like faking those rings, you'll just scare it. You'll scare it straight. Okay, so the story of the BBC has, you know, a few more examples. Microsoft, as you might expect, has denied that there's any link between the rings and the Kinect, and they say in a statement to the BBC that the Kinect is designed to work with every Xbox 360 sold to date, and they insist that there's no correlation between the three flashing red lights and the Kinect.
It's just your Xbox.
They're not lying. The Kinect was designed to work with an Xbox, all right.
Yeah.
That is a great statement. Hey, we designed this thing to work with your Xbox.
If you hear loud typing, that's XV and I. We are coordinating on our new show, Screen View, which should hopefully start like next
week. Awesome. Yeah. You want to
I'll get a muff right here in the middle of our show.
Yeah, so we've got a domain now at screenview.tv. Since I mentioned it before, I might as well buy the domain.
Yes.
And just for John.
That's a tease.
It's
awesome.
It's not up yet.
Street Fighter 2 G.I. Joe vehicles.
Yes. Awesome.
Way to go.
Blanco's the best.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, no, no. No, Brian, if you want.
Didn't they do like a Havoc from that series, or am I thinking of something else?
I don't know. Go look at Yo Joe.
Think. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I can check. I still remember that commercial, which was awesome. We got to find that on YouTube. For Street Fighter / G.I. Joe. Great commercial. Anyway, okay, so another quick thing on Microsoft. This time it's good, I think, maybe, or this may be scary when it actually rolls out. So Microsoft is set to announce the, quote, Avatar Kinect at CES.
But it's not as bad as it sounds at first.
No. It's not as blue as you would think. So a leaked slideshow has shown a new feature that allows players to interact with each other's avatars. So you can have hot avatar-on-avatar action.
God. Yeah.
Going on the
Xbox
Kinect.
Doesn't say anything, but someone's going to figure out a way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, squat. Absolutely. Squat. Well, they've already like squashed a couple of sex games, let's be honest, for the Kinect. So we'll see if they can stop it now. Once everybody looks really cute and avatar-y, you know, it doesn't look so obscene. Before we jump into our topic, if you're a fan of TurboGrafx-16,
and who isn't?
Who isn't? And you have a PS3.
That's not me.
Oh. Well, if you're one
for JD though.
Yeah, if you're me, I guess I qualify for this. So Hudson has unveiled 10 TurboGrafx-16 games that they're going to release for the PlayStation Network over the next few months. So here's a little blast from the past. You get Alien Crush, Bomberman 94. Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Bonk's Adventure, Dungeon Explorer, Newtopia, New Adventure Island, Soldier Blade, Superstar Soldier, Victory Run, World Sports Competition. That is awesome.
That's like, you know, the barest of bare. You know.
Well, I mean, you can only go so far with the TurboGrafx-16, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Bonk. And
Bonk and pick a shooter.
I mean, it's Konami, but Dracula X, my God, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Probably the next round of games, I'm sure. They can't, you know, blow their load, so to speak, on the first
what
one.
Took it, you know, it took like 4 years to get that on the Wii, but it was worth it.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Was it ever? Okay, so that brings us to our topic. This is an awesome topic. So last week, we looked 10 years back, we looked 20 years back. And we took a look at the video game landscape in each of those years. Quite interesting, quite fun. This week, we're going to wrap up our retrospectives with actually looking at the year that was 2010. And so, guys, feel free to cut in when you want, but I'm going to lay some interesting, awesome facts on you. So back in January of 2010, we got some awesome games. First of all, we got Bayonetta, which has become a cult classic. We got Mass Effect 2, another classic, and we got the iPad. So, you know, if you think about it, the iPad's only been around a year, but yeah. It feels it's been around forever, really. I mean, yeah. It's instantly kind of, you know, sunk into our psyche. February brought us BioShock 2, which was tremendous. Heavy Rain, which is a good concept, good game, great concept. Star Trek Online, which was not a good game, not a good concept. And Assassin's Creed 2 for the PC shipped another great game, actually. Final Fantasy 13 was released on the 360. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but when I was younger, I was kind of into Final Fantasy, not so much anymore. Nope. I don't think I have stamina.
Never got into it.
I got into it. I mean, I was into 10 as much as anybody. But by the time 12 rolled around, I'd kind of checked out. I don't know. I'm just a different type of game player these days. In March, we got Red Steel 2, which was a great game. Yakuza 3, tremendous game. We also got a clock error for the PS3. So PS3 systems around the world were dying because of a clock error, only to come back to life a day later. So happy Easter, everybody.
Yes.
Your PS3 died for a day. Came back from the dead. So, about that,
did it come back as a zombie?
Think about that. I don't know. It's not sane. So also in March, the Nintendo announced the 3DS, and that it would be glassless. Tremendous stuff.
Boy,
so,
it?
Can you say that again?
Glasses, less.
I guess not.
No, I can't. also, and this one's for the DS fans, the DSi XL was released. Mm-hmm. And I need to check on the sales numbers because I'm kind of interested to see if that's sold. I'm guessing probably not. It's probably not the
highest. Not as well as the Lite, definitely.
The Lite's and fantastic. I mean,
it's the Lite's fantastic. The XL is a brick. It's gigantic.
Yeah. But it's big. That's the cool thing about it.
It is. And boy, is it big. Boy, is people, it big. April brought us Super Street Fighter 4. It brought us Microsoft shutting down Xbox Live support for the original Xbox.
Which sucks, so sad. Because I have like, so I can actually connect the, I actually have room now to hook an Ethernet cable to it, where before I had to have it right beside my computer. So.
Yeah, you could be playing Halo 2 right now.
I could be.
Yes. And you probably would be.
I could actually, I know, I'm pretty sure, I know for a fact I can still be playing Halo 1, because I'm certain people are still running hubs for that. But that's awesome. Because that was pre-Xbox Live. You could play it over the network.
Which is awesome. Yes. Which is awesome. So April also brought us, like I said, Super Street Fighter 4. May brought us Super Mario Galaxy 2, which I got to be honest, was kind of a letdown because it was Super Mario Galaxy again. Didn't feel so much as a sequel as an expansion pack. Anyway.
Yeah,
it was incredibly highly scored, though, for the most part. Let's see, June brought us Toy Story 3, the video game. More importantly, it brought us Transformers War for Cybertron.
Yes, which I like. I need to finish, but I like it.
Yeah, when it's $20, I might go back and give it another spin, but, you know.
You know, I played it for a good, solid, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 weeks. And then, I don't know.
You put three or four weeks into it, or are you doing multiplayer?
No, I mean, I was doing a little bit of multiplayer and then, you know, just kind of dabbling.
It's like it's a 10-hour game, isn't it?
Yeah.
I beat the Decepticons campaign so far. I haven't played the Autobot one more than a half a level.
That sounds like how I did. I just kind of lost interest.
Well, it's a very quick game, but it gets kind of frustrating at parts.
Uh-huh.
You're like, how many times can I die before I just don't want to do this for a while?
Especially the final Autobot boss battle. Very.
You know, Omega Supreme was a breeze, but that level before Omega Supreme in the Decepticons where you had to wear them down with those cannons was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's why let me not be pissed off at that and now go beat the Autobot campaign.
Trypticon was a bitch.
Hmm.
Sure.
Let me infect
sure
these was things.
The summer of 2010 was kind of quiet, so we'll jump to August, where we got a new Madden, like we do every year. We got Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I need to play that.
That is a really nifty game.
It's basically an homage to River City Ransom.
Yes.
It's very tiring.
It is very tiring, yes, but it's an awesome game, and you know, for a genre that just doesn't get a lot of attention, doesn't get a lot of love, it's a good game. You should really pick it up. I would highly, highly recommend it. So September brought us news that Duke Nukem Forever, yes,
that's
is going
amazing
to happen,
but it's yet to happen though. That's the thing.
It has yet to happen. So I guess we're like hoping it will. It will likely happen. How about that?
Yeah. Now the real question is, are we hoping that it'll end so we can never have to talk about it again, or are we actually going to look forward to playing it?
Tell me, guys, is it another Unreal 3 engine game?
No, it's
probably Unreal. It's probably Unreal Engine 1.
I'm just wondering how Duke Nukem.
No, it probably is. Yeah.
They're like, it took us forever to make this game, and another company got it. It took us 1 week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Just to put it in a box, basically.
It's actually War for Cybertron skin.
Is that all of them?
September brought us, this is sad. This is sad. This is a personal one for me. It brought us yet another Kingdom Hearts game. Kingdom Hearts has had such a fall from grace. When the first two Kingdom Hearts games were out, they were tremendous for what they were, and now Kingdom Hearts has kind of turned into this sad and tired.
And our pal M. Cipher wrote the strategy guide to it.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right.
How many is this?
Oh gosh, there's been at least four. I'm thinking five by now. But most of them have been on handheld, obviously, by now.
What was fresh is now old meme.
Oh, no question. No question. Yeah, like, the creator of Epic Mickey, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, didn't even reference Kingdom Hearts when he was talking about creating Epic Mickey. And clearly, you know, that's some kind of distant relative to Epic Mickey. September brought us, also I should note, the motion control for the 360 and the PS3. So the Move and the Kinect were released just back in September. It was just back in September.
Are you sure?
I am dead serious.
Oh, wow.
Actually, October. Sorry, October. Yeah. So October.
Yeah, okay, because that's when I got it. I'm
like, Sony introduced the PlayStation Move, our favorite lollipop-shaped controller. And
that's
Microsoft
not exactly what it's shaped like, but okay.
Microsoft released in November the Kinect. So, you know, fresh for the holiday season.
REC mentioned in July Dragon Quest IX. Did you mention that?
No, I hadn't.
That's a huge release.
It is a huge release. Absolutely.
Pretty good.
Huge release. Hey, by the way, Brian, you still loving the Kinect? Are you still playing it?
I've played it twice. Kim plays it way more than me. She was playing EA Active 2 today, and she loves it. We just got it today.
Nice. Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, yeah, so to wrap up October, we got NBA Jam. How about that? And Sonic the Hedgehog Episode 1. Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 1. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Which I've played through, and it gets a solid meh from me. I don't know if anybody else has played it in the room. Have any of you guys touched it?
No.
It's kind of what you think. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a complete throwback to Sonic.
Oh, wait. No. I've got it. I haven't played it more than like 2 minutes.
It's one of those things where you're like, it's another. Which one? There's like 50 of them.
The one thing I don't like about it, just from what little I've played, like literally what little I've played, it just, the graphics are unsettling. It tries to be old school Sonic, but it looks like a Saturn version of it, and it just doesn't work for me.
I was more interested.
So they actually succeeded in making the graphics. Oh.
Yeah, old in the sense that it, you know, looks 13 years old instead of 17 years old.
Yeah, not the chic old.
Ah, so it's not old enough.
No, it's not good old. It's, you know, like, oh, old.
Yet they make Sonic Colors, which is probably what they should have did to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, very nice.
And
very
it's
nice.
All in one disc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sonic Colors, by the way, came out in November. You know what else came out in November? Gran Turismo 5. How about that?
Finally.
You know, a new Pac-Man? Splatterhouse? That's a good title.
Honestly, Grant, I kind of now, again, want a PS3 just because of Gran Turismo 5, I gotta admit.
Like 2 weeks ago, you said you totally weren't excited.
Yeah, Triplet got it, and he's playing it, and it makes me want it really badly. So,
oh, yeah. Is it pretty awesome?
He loves it.
Have you been over to watch him play or play with him?
I'm not allowed at his house anymore.
Why?
I used to get a trip to his house like 3 or 4 times a week, but it's been probably 5 or 6 years since I've been there. I don't know why. I'm just not allowed. Literally, I think his house is full of Transformers, and he doesn't want company. But his house is it's worse. It's the last time I was there, which was years ago, it was worse than yours, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Transformers goes,
is yours bad, Rob?
Well, Rob has everything consolidated in one location, basically.
It's in the basement. It's in the warehouse.
But his house is the warehouse. It's wall to wall Transformers.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Let's see. December brought, of course, World of Warcraft Cataclysm, and that's where JD is right now.
Yeah.
Right. I going to read.
Either that or the end of the DC Universe beta.
Oh, yeah. He's beta testing his ass off. Absolutely. Yeah. He better be, yo. Okay, so to wrap up this story, here's an interesting little tidbit. A breakdown of the game genres. So, you know, we always kind of assume that first-person shooters are the dominant genre, and things like beat-em-ups get the short end of the stick. So there are 150 2010 releases listed on a chart that I'm looking at that was developed by one of the video game websites. And when you break it down, you know,
when you break it down, XP is going crazy on the keyboard.
Seriously,
they're talking Sentai in the chat.
He's gonna need he's gonna need a new keyboard. Is what he's gonna need, folks. So yeah, anybody listening out there that's got a spare keyboard, mail it to I don't know. XV at hishouse.com.
Some use I've got six or seven other keyboards around too. So if I wear this one out, I got spares.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome. So, okay. So of the 150 releases that were compiled for the genre breakdown, 33 of them fell under kind of a generic action category, which is where a lot of games fall under. Even games like if you think of, say, like Arkham Asylum, that's an action game.
It is.
Some people would call it a beat 'em up. Some people would call it, you know, I don't know, some kind of almost role-playing game, really. But it's an action game. And the action category, you know, covers titles, like I said, like God of War 3. And then, you know, just about anything that isn't specifically something else is probably an action game or an adventure game. So 33 of the 150 fell under action games. 21 were shooters. And that was second place. So action games were actually the most, you know, frequent genre of game out there. Shooters, of all things, were second. You really wouldn't think that. Role-playing games came in third at 19 and with 19 titles. And sports titles were the fourth with 14 titles. Now, you may ask, you know, where are first-person shooters? First-person shooters are right around the middle of this chart. This chart breaks down. If you break down games to about 10 types of games, first-person shooters are actually right in the middle. Games like, sports games and action games, kind of the, you know, the generic catch-alls are actually what comprise the market these days. As much attention and as much marketing money as first-person shooters get, they're in the middle of the pack.
Well, so, mainstream are the ones buying more. So Madden
every year. Every year, everybody goes out and gets their new Madden. Absolutely.
Yeah. Damn Madden.
Damn old man. So I think that wraps up our look at 2010. Of course, 2011 looks like it's going to be the year of 3D, or at least a valiant attempt at making us buy 3D.
Well, you know, I think the 3D has a better chance with stuff like the 3DS, where it's all self-contained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I'm intrigued by the 3DS. I got to admit, it's hard not to be. Isn't that right, Bob?
Yep, that's right. What's up, guys? Yes. PSP, kiss my butt.
Yeah.
Nintendo, it's a cereal now. Nintendo, it's for breakfast. Wow.
Did you like The Legend of Zelda or the Super Mario Brothers cereal better?
Mario.
I was a Zelda man, so.
I was a Zelda man, too.
You ever mix them up to be like the original Smash Brothers cereal?
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Whoa.
Now, if you had the Pac-Man cereal, too, which came out several years before, that would have been the thing.
That sounds awful.
Pac-Man cereal was delicious.
That would have been Mario Kart Arcade.
I remember buying the Pac-Man cereal, or having the Pac-Man cereal in the self-serve.
Like shattered your teeth.
In the single serve bowl, you know, you just have like little, it was like a plastic, thin plastic bowl, had wax paper over it that you peeled off.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. Man.
That was awesome.
I miss good
bring back video game cereals.
Yes.
What is wrong with you, world? Where have those been? If they can bring back Booberry, they can bring back Zelda cereal.
I'm sick of buying Booberry only once a year, people. You're pissing me off. I'm not ordering this crap.
Go to Ollie's. You're fun.
Okay, so on that note, I think that'll do it for New Soundwave number 61. Like I said, next week we will recap all of CES that applies to video games. And until next time, I'm your brave, brave host, John DeLuno. And for the crew, XV, Peter, Rob, and Brian, that is the show, and we will see you next week.
Kiss my ass.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Gilbert, XV, Lady Rick, Weebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.